Hey, everyone. You know me. I'm Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I interview entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses. For a large part of last year, instead of coming here to the office, which is a really nice office right in the heart of San Francisco, but instead of coming here, I decided I wanted to go work in, you know, outdoors, beautiful spots. And frankly, San Francisco doesn't really have it, but if I go a little bit north, if I go a little bit south, and I end up in, well, north is Napa or Sonoma. If I go a little bit south, I end up at this beautiful places that are basically what you'd consider Silicon Valley. And I take my phone with me, and for the most part, I'd use my phone instead of my laptop. And I thought, you know what? I think maybe all I want is a phone. The only problem I have with using my phone for work, I discovered, was that the battery would just go down. It would just really let me down. I would constantly update my phones, get the latest phone, and still it couldn't do more than 4 or 5 hours of work, and I would work for at least 10 hours. So I started doing heavy research into batteries. What kind of battery can I take with me that would allow me to have the power that I need without the bulk? Because I like being a minimalist and carrying as little as possible. If I wanted more, then I'd carry my freaking laptop. And as I did all this research, I came across this product called Flux. And the thing that I liked about it was I wouldn't have to carry a cable with it. It was just like about the size of an iPhone. It had the cable that I could plug into any USB charger so I could charge it up if I needed to while I was out. But for the most part, I would just use the rest of it. And there's another little cable on the inside that would plug into my iPhone. And I could use that to charge my phone. It was really compelling. And to be honest with you, I didn't end up buying it, and I didn't end up working outside the office as often as I thought. It turns out I needed my office and my two iMacs. But when I spoke at a conference recently, someone told me about this guy who's kind of a new entrepreneur who is the creator of Flux. And I said, wait, he created Flux? Tell me about him. And then a bunch of other people wanted to get to know me because I was just coming off stage. But I wanted to know this guy because I saw the product. I did my research. I love researching technology. And so I found out a little bit about the guy behind this piece of hardware that I got interested in. And I invited him to come on here and do an interview. The founder is Alejandro Rioja. He is the founder of the parent company of Flux. Flux Chargers is a best-selling portable charger in over 75 countries. Oof, I just read that directly off of your marketing material, Alejandro. I try to like not go with like the puffy stuff. But I will tell you this. I did look you up on Amazon because I'm that kind of a researcher, and I looked up YouTube videos and so on, and your Amazon ratings are fantastic. Okay, so I invited him here to talk about how he did it. We're going to talk about the story of where he came up with this idea, how he got his first sales. Well, did he get it made? How did he get it made? And so on. All thanks to two great sponsors. The first will help you hire your next great developer, finance person, and really, they're just expanding and so on. They'll help you hire some of the best people out there. It's called TopTal. And the second is a company that will help you close more sales. Their software is called Pipe Drive. I'll tell you more about them later. Alejandro, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Andrew. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's really good to have you. Sorry?
I said, really excited to be here.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I used to be on the other side, just listening to an interview. So it's very, a long way to be on this side.
Good. You know what? I dig that. I hear an accent. Where did you used to listen? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you listen to the Mixergy interviews when you were listening?
I was born and raised in Bolivia. Mm-hmm. I came to the US 4 years ago, to UCLA.
Okay.
I just finished my degree there.
And that's where you are right now. You're at a different company that happens to be housed at UCLA, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm kind of curious about how well this did. Can you give me like an overall estimate of the revenue and how long it was that you guys have been selling these Flux chargers?
Yeah, so we started in June of 2015, and it really took us about a year to start seeing some serious revenue. And what we... our best months were at $100,000 a month in revenue, $110,000. That was the last Christmas and Black Friday and all those good sales days. Mm-hmm. Right now, and those, you know, and then it's also seasonal. So at the end of the year, most people end up buying this type of products. And on the drier months, it's, you know, between $40,000 to $50,000 per month. We also shifted, and we no longer we do sell the one-on-one units, but we also sell to companies that want to have this as a corporate gift and things like that. So that's why towards the end of the year, we have stronger sales.
From corporations? Corporations are buying these chargers?
Yeah, portions are Binance, a corporate gift with their logo, so they can give it out to their employees or to their clients and things like that.
Really? The reason I'm shocked by that is because it's a pretty big gift. It costs what at retail? $30. What does a company pay if they want to buy multiple chargers?
It could be between 15 to 20. They usually, companies that have been buying from us are like law firms and things like that, where the customer lifetime value is a lot higher, and they can afford to spend $20 or something like that on a gift. And a lot of companies actually do spend a good amount, you know, for a nicer gift. Because people are, you know, a little tired of getting like flash drives and things like that. So,
yeah, I hate getting flash drives. Frankly, even if I get them as a gift from a good friend, not a company gift, I toss them in the garbage because I don't want to stick anything in my computer that could potentially lead to a virus. And frankly, whatever it is, just put it on the freaking internet. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've been in the cloud for many years now.
Yeah. But a charger, I get that. I am always running out of freaking battery. I have such battery anxiety. Don't you?
Yeah. Yes. So the idea for how we started, how did we come up across the idea of selling this portable charger? Me and my co-founder, Miles Anthony, also from UCLA, we once went to a social gathering, and we were there for the whole day. And towards the end of the day, you know, maybe like 6, 7 p.m., our phones died. And while I was looking for a charger, someone handed me this bulky charger that needed an extra cable, and I could not put it in my pockets, you know, because it was too bulky. So kind of like as a joke, we thought about seeing if there was some other charger that could be like smaller but easy to put in your pockets that will even give you 10% of battery. Mm-hmm. And that was the early idea for the chargers. We did a little bit of research. We looked up on the top 10 best-selling chargers on Amazon. We put them up in a matrix, and then we saw where we could compete in terms of branding, pricing, and features. And we saw that the market was pretty much segmented into two sides. So there was the very upscale and overpriced chargers, like other companies.
I'm going to say it, Mophie. I see Mophie a lot at the airport, and
Mophie,
they cost 2 to 3 times what other chargers cost. And frankly, I don't see them being any thinner. I don't see them doing that much different than other chargers.
Yeah, I think they were very good at creating that brand equity and just really having a really strong distribution. So it took a big chunk of the market.
Yeah, and they were the first. When I wanted a charging case for my phone, the only one that I knew that existed back when I had the iPhone 3G, it was just a Mophie. They were really on it back then, and they still do good products, but there's so much competition, and they charge 3 times as much as others in many cases.
Exactly. So, yeah, and then there's the other side of the chargers, where there are the chargers that are little on the cheaper side, they will break within a couple of uses. So we hit that middle market with our $30 price charger.
So I ended up getting one of those cheaper ones, and it did break. It was this tiny little thing the size of a credit card. I kept it in my front pocket and on my back, and it bent, and it's like $10-15, but it's not useful.
Yeah.
So we were looking
for that compromise of quality and price and durability.
Now, you wanted to be sure that what you were doing actually made sense. So before you had the product brought in or manufactured, before you had that all worked out, you said, I'm going to go out, and you're living in LA like I used to, and you went to Santa Monica, and you started asking people what?
Yeah, so actually, my co-founder went, we went through the Startup UCLA Accelerator in 2015. Shout out to Startup UCLA. Mm-hmm. Those were, you know, the very early steps on our entrepreneurial journey, and they emphasize a lot on customer validation. So what we did in the first couple of days and weeks was just really to get that product validation, to see if people will buy our product, how much they will pay for it, and what kind of brand name and brands they will like. So we actually got a box of chargers, a box of 100 chargers, which we thought it was going to take us a month to sell. And I went to Santa Monica, 3rd Street, and in one afternoon I sold them all.
Really? So Santa Monica 3rd Street is the promenade where you got the Gap, Banana Republic, the Apple store is over there. Tons of people go there. There's a mall at the end of it, but nobody goes in the mall. On that strip, it's like 3 blocks from the beach. People are just kind of walking around, getting ice cream. And so you just would walk up to strangers and say, do you want to buy a battery?
Yes. Yeah, so I started just approaching people, and it turned out to be a lot easier than I expected. You know, I had a lot of anxiety, but When I would go and approach people, you know, they were tourists, they were, you know, just strolling around, they had a lot of time, and they were willing to listen to a college student that had some sort of product or something that they were willing to sell. So it was a combination of the people that were just kind of having a good time. Also had $20 to $30 on their pocket because they were doing a lot of shopping, and they were also tourists. So just being able to, I guess, to speak German and a little bit of French and Spanish. So I was able to talk to them in different languages. So
that's impressive. So you moved 100 of these different chargers. Here's the thing: where did you get the 100 chargers?
We work with a manufacturer that we found through Alibaba, and my co-founder just went ahead and got those made. The first version looked completely different to the one we are selling right now. It only had one cable and an adapter for an Android. And he went ahead and got those chargers, and we pretty much it looked like a sunk cost. And at that point, where we only had the $5,000 stipend from Startup UCLA, we really need to make it back so that we can keep going. So,
what did you pay for the chargers? Do you remember?
I think it was maybe like I want to say $1,000, something like that.
$1,000 for a hundred. I see. So about $10 a pop, and if you sold them for $20, you were doubling. I see. And when you say it was basically meant for iPhone because it had that lightning connector.
It was meant for. It had an Android, and it had a little tiny piece that will. I've converted the USB to a micro USB to an
okay. Lightning. I've seen those types of chargers. So now, what were you trying to prove? That there was enough of a demand for battery packs that looked like this that people would buy them?
Yeah. So we were trying to prove and see like what. Well, first, how easy it would be to sell this type of products. We were looking to our first strategy was not really to do online sales, was to do kind of like more of like a brand ambassador type of thing. Mm-hmm. And also see where this people, idea customers will hang out. So we went to a couple concerts, we went to events, conferences, and things like that, and we started selling there. So we were trying to prove if people at those events were our ideal customers, and you know, we thought that those were. Based on the sales, and eventually, you know, since we were selling to all these different people from around the world, they would go back to their countries and they would start ordering from their countries on our website, and then you know we kind of like shifted to more of a online model.
So your thinking was, I'm going to have a sales force that's going to go out to where people are, and it's going to sell in person. And your vision was mid-market charger sold one-on-one, and the bonus would be that some of them would end up telling their friends who would buy from your website. It was not just about the charger. It was about the distribution.
Yes. Yes. So that's why we started.
Doesn't that sound nuts to you?
Yeah, it does. And looking back, it was probably not the best idea because it was not too scalable. I was hiring a lot of college students that who were not pretty versed in sales. So I had to train them, and it got to a little bit of a mess when we had 15 to 20 people trying to sell and going to Santa Monica at some point. But it was a good start to get some capital and to also kind of really, really validate the message, the brand, and the price.
Here's the part that, first of all, I'm surprised that UCLA would encourage you and suggest that you do this. But here's the part that actually shocked me. On my floor here in the office that I have in San Francisco, mm-hmm. there were these guys who ran an operation where people would go stand in the street and try to raise money for nonprofit organizations. We've all seen them here in the streets of the city, and I'm sure Santa Monica and other big cities. I always assumed that they were just people who cared about the cause. It turns out they're not. They're people who get paid every time they sign someone up to pay on a monthly basis to help the cause. I always thought that they were running directly with the nonprofit. No. These guys who had office space here have a company that partners with nonprofits, and they send people out into the street. And at first I said, this is kind of antiquated. We're living in a dot-com world. Don't you understand about email? I didn't say it that fiery. I'm usually much more curious than that, and I express my curiosity. But I was trying to have those questions answered. They gave me the numbers. Salespeople who sell on the street, if it's run right, and it takes a lot of organization to get them to run right, will crush when it comes to sales. They'll crush, but what they have is an ongoing recurring revenue model where you have a one-time sale with a $10, maybe $30 profit margin, which is not enough to excite the really good salespeople and to create that infrastructure, right?
Yes. So when we started on our website, you know, we will celebrate when we had one sale per day. But in this, when we were selling the streets, we could easily get 10, 5 to 10 per hour. So you know. In the early days, it made sense for us to go to the streets. And then once we were able to bump up that sales in our online, we stopped going to the streets.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of heard that you guys, or you maybe met even a girl that you ended up dating while you're doing this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me.
I don't know how you did this, but yeah, it was a, it was, we were not really dating, but a girl that we hired, I got really close with, and
It wasn't someone that you just met on the street.
Yeah, no, it wasn't someone that I met on the street, but I also used this as a pickup line. So it was some cute girls, I'll go talk to them, and you know, if my pickup line didn't work, I'll show up with a charger or something like that. So it was interesting at that point, but
okay.
Yeah, no.
So I looked into your background. You at one point were also doing SEO.
Yeah.
Oh, and you were a software engineer. Oh, as an intern at Shopzilla. I got to know the Shopzilla people really well when I lived in LA. They were monsters at SEO and monsters at getting traffic from Google back before Google started to shut down partnerships like that because of competition. Why didn't you say the big thing I could bring to this partnership, my big skill is online sales? Why did you go into this offline world?
Like I said, we kind of like, got there sort of by accident. When we were to start up UCLA Accelerator, at the end of the 10 weeks, we do have to go to San Francisco to go pitch to the UCLA VC fund. And when we were pitching, we were the only company that was pitching something that had an ask. So everyone else was pitching their idea, and you know, this is the market, this is what we do. But they didn't have an ask, they didn't have like download our app or you know, sign up for our product. We actually had an ask, and it was like, hey, you're going to buy it, here's $25. Find us at the end of the presentation. I kind of said that as a joke, and I put a promo code there. But it turned out a lot of people took me up on the offer and were lining up, you know, with their credit cards out, and we had the Square Reader.
Oh wow! So they would buy from them at the end of your pitch.
Yeah. So we also started also doing a lot of this pitches, like sales pitches at this point, where we go to the demo day and a bunch of other things to just sell the product. And we saw that, and then we saw the online sales, and it was a lot simpler for us to get those sales than the amount of work that was taking SEO. But we were still working on the SEO on the side, but not as much because, you know, we were prioritizing early revenue.
I see.
And later on, you know, 6 months and a year in.
Oh, you know what? Let's take a moment here. I think we just lost our connection for a moment, but you're back. You can hear me okay, right?
Yeah.
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So I said, you know, it took us about 6 months to a year to really get to see the SEO results, and that's when we really shifted to.
All right, I'm going to come back and ask you about SEO. I also want to come back and ask you about how you got tech bloggers to care about this, and then we'll continue. But first, let me tell you and everyone else about a company called Pipe Drive. If you're out there listening to me and you do any kind of sales, you owe it to yourself to sign up for Pipe Drive. Pipedrive has revolutionized our sales internally at Mixergy. The reason is this. First of all, it forces you to articulate every step of your sales process. Secondly, and you know, a lot of people are freaking messy about their sales process. When you guys were out there on the street, did you give your salespeople specific, like what to say, what to do, step-by-step sales closing techniques?
Yes, I actually had a template of, you know, all these different objections that people will say and then what you can say to them.
You know what? I just threw my pen on the floor in anger. Here's why. Of course you did. Oh, great. Even Jacob, who used to have his team over here, used to have a sales process that he would teach them. I would watch him. I would listen to his sales process. I would hear people like opening. Meanwhile, most salespeople have nothing. They think by gut they're going to sell and they're going to figure it out, which is maybe great if you're one person selling. Maybe it's great. Probably not, but maybe. But once you say, I have to get bigger than one person, bigger than me and my gut, then you need a frickin' process. And it helps to force yourself to articulate your process early on, especially if it takes multiple calls or multiple emails or multiple messages. Demo may be in there to close a sale. You want to know it. So here's the part that just frustrates me. Most people don't do it. Pipedrive forces you to. Pipedrive forces you to. You can't use Pipedrive the way you would like an address book or any of their competition. They say, hey, you want to use us? It's do or die. You have to articulate your process or get out and you don't pay us and we don't want you as a customer. So that's the first thing. Second thing is now once you have your process, now for you guys, you were selling on the street. It's one person at a time. Most salespeople can actually start to bring in other people, sales development reps, other people, assistants on the team to help close a sale. So for example, if after a demo, somebody needs to send out an email or someone needs to send out a kit or someone needs to follow up with something, it doesn't need to be the salesperson. Once you move the person in Pipedrive from one step to the next. Someone else on your team can help back you up and collaborate. Okay, that's the beauty of Pipedrive. It also has fantastic stats, so you know how well you're doing week to week, how well your team is doing week to week. Anyone out there who is doing sales, don't make me throw my pen on the floor in anger. You really need a process that will help you close more sales. I've been talking about them long before they sponsored, back when it was a distraction for my interviews and I couldn't stop talking about them because they work. I urge everyone who's listening to me to go at least try it. And I'll tell you what, if you try it and you don't like it, I want to hear from you. My email address is andrew@mixergy.com. I promise there's no way that you're going to say, this is Andrew's misleading us on this, or this is a stupid idea. You're going to get it. You may just say, hey, you know what? I don't like to be this processed, but you're going to get it. And my guess is if you use this process, you're going to close more sales. So check this out. Go to pipedrive.com/mixergy. That's where they're going to give you 14 days for free plus 25% off 3 months after that. Go to pipedrive.com/mixergy. I stake my reputation on them. Here's the big mistake that I made, by the way. I'm not an angel investor. I don't, Alejandro, get any pleasure out of angel investing. But here's what I learned. From now on, when I use software in the early stage and I love it, like I did with Pipedrive and Zapier, I got to call them up and harass them until I invest and then start talking about them like endlessly, which is frankly what I ended up doing anyway. When I first used Pipedrive, it wasn't buggy. It just wasn't gorgeous. I should have invested. I should have said, hey, I'm still using it, even though it's not gorgeous, even though it's got some like kinks in it. I'm still using it. This has got to be so good. I should invest. Meanwhile, I lost out. Killer, killer product. Never going to lose out like that again. If I use something early stage and it's still buggy and I still love it, I got to call them up and harass them until I invest. All right. It's because I'm kind of a pain in the ass when I like, look at all the research I did for Flux to see if Flux was right for me. I love it. All right. SEO. What worked for you for search engine optimization?
So, a couple things, and you know, maybe like what people already know, but you know, you always get high quality backlinks. And the way I started getting backlinks was just kind of like talk about my interview process. Oh, sorry. Getting interviews from people. And I started,
you would go out and have someone interview you?
Yes.
About yeah. What?
About what I was doing, you know, coming from Bolivia, anything that they will fit their blog. And I did a lot of outreach. And, you know, I'll find a blog, or maybe a friend of mine will get mentioned in a blog, and I'll ask for an introduction there. And it started with very small blogs, you know, blogs that will get 100 reads and things like that. And then we also put up a link on our website. It's like, if you want to review our product, I'll send you one for free and things like that. So we started with very small ones, and then we kept leveraging those to more and more. And for some bloggers, we will do a referral fee. Other ones will get sent in product for free and things like that. So that's what how we started getting high quality.
What was your process for outreach to get interviewed back before there was much for people to interview about?
There was the first interview that I did was with Imprint Lab. And I think they reached out to me. They had seen me pitch once, and then they just wanted to hear what I had to say about the accelerator, about coming from Bolivia and things like that. So mm-hmm. that was a really, really nice interview. And then from there, you know, a couple of hundred readers. One of them was also interested, and you know, he kept building it from there. And then I also asked. That was around the time where I opened up my Facebook. I was very private on my Facebook, and then I opened up and started adding people. I started adding a lot of entrepreneurs that I admire and respect, and those guys will get interviews in some other places. So I will also look at those different websites and get interviewed there. And
my, so you just reached out to them. Was there a process then, or were you?
Yes,
there was. What was your process? Yeah.
So basically, it was not to reach out through email. So that I did some I guess kind of like scrappy data analysis, where I will get the most responses through Facebook, then Twitter, then email. So with Facebook, I'll just send a quick DM that I kind of like crafted. It was like 3 or 4 lines. Say, hey, you know, I saw you interview with my friend here. You know, I could talk about this if you're interested. Yes. We'll have to set up something.
Okay.
And most people would say, well, most people at least reply. You know, more than 50% of people will actually reply with yes or no. And then it was just like a numbers game. And Twitter was a little bit less mm-hmm. personal, and definitely email had not much of an effect.
Email had not much of an effect.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't really see my personality. They couldn't see a picture, so it was easy to delete. But on Facebook, you know, they'll get a notification and reply. So if anyone's trying to do outreach for interviews, at least, for what's worked for us is to really get for interviews and press, so it was worked for us to really reach out to people through Facebook, then Twitter, then email. And this is the one thing that really changed our business. So for about a year, we were, you know, making 500, 600, maybe $1,000 per month in sales online. And I looked up portable chargers, and the first thing that comes up is Digital Trends. It says top 30 portable chargers. I went to the writer, hit him up via email. His name is Simon. And I said, hey Simon, you know, we have this product. We think you'll like it. You know, what do you think? He didn't reply. And I say, I'm willing to send you a free unit. Just let me know what you want. And I reached out to him 10 times. And almost when I was about to give up, I asked a different person in the team to reach out to him. It was a girl, and she reached out to him, and she got a response within a couple of minutes to say, hey, yeah, here's my address, send it to me. He sent it, he reviewed, he put it, and that article, the keyword portable chargers gets, according to a plugin that I have, or a tool, a Google Chrome extension, it gets about 100,000 searches per month. That page probably gets 80% of like those clicks, and we were number one there. So we had a lot of the traffic to our site.
See, you know, I'm seeing that list right now on Digital Trends. They seem like they add to it from time to time. They adjust it. And so that's the list that you were on. You said, hey, everyone, I see you got other chargers. You should have mine. He didn't respond, but he did respond when there was a girl who emailed in.
Yeah, yeah. And then we also got that little bit of data insight. So when we see a female writer, we're talking from a male team member. And then
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it may or may not be because we don't really have a large data set, but it's been working out for us. So we try to reach out with a different sex.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of just going out and interviewing. I just find that when someone doesn't have a topic, it's hard. Did you give them a list of topics?
Kind of. I mean, I gave him like a little bit of my background. You know, I have CS background. I do. I know a little bit about SEO, and I think the fact that I was from Bolivia like caught their eye too. So either one of those three will be like the main topic. And while we were doing the interview, then another topic will come up, and you know, go into more depth in depth.
I see. Okay. You know, Ryan Carson just pinged me, asked to if it was time to do another Mixergy interview, and he had maybe the best interview request email I've ever gotten. It was a list of topics that he could talk about, which is good because otherwise I have to figure out what I should have you to talk about. List of topics, and then here's why you should have me on, and a point about how he also drives traffic. So even if I say to myself, I can't think about traffic, I can't think about how he's going to help promote this, even if I don't want to think that, it's hard not to notice it. It's hard when you're thinking about what would I have him on as a useful for the audience to not look down and say, well, here are all the things that he's going to give me. So frankly, Ryan Carson just needs to say, yo, it's Ryan Carson and I want to come back, and I'll say yes to him. But it's very compelling. Yeah. I think that most people don't think that way. Don't think about, I'm going to write the headline for you and give you two other options as a way of getting you on. And it's a big mistake. All right. You're still working with just some guy.
It reminds me too that.
Mm-hmm.
Before you finish that, that reminds me when I was doing the interviews, I would write the interviews and I would do all the work for them. So they would just all I had to do is hit publish. So it was really very low.
You'd write their questions and you'd write their answer. Then you'd write the next question and the answer.
Yes. Or sometimes they will also send questions, but if they didn't have them, I'll write them myself. So all they had to do is really publish them. And you know, they had a picture and links and everything already put in into a Google Doc that I'll share with them. And that's it.
All right.
So,
you know, one of the things that I found though, when something that you just get off of Alibaba sells, there are a bunch of other people who sell the exact same thing. Why didn't that happen to you? I'm looking to try to find competitors. I don't see that.
So the first version we sold, did have some competitors. It was called the Flux Card. But over time we were working with a manufacturer. We did some improvements to the box, to the material. Now it's like a matte finish, like a very soft matte finish, and other things. And the way we also position it, on Amazon and online and through the press, I think they allowed us to kind of be the top on that. That's
were there other people who were selling the same thing as you, or were you able to work with the manufacturer to adjust it enough that it's too different for other people to copy?
I'm sure that there's people selling something very similar, but I think what we've done with the branding has allowed us to kind of capture all the people that are looking for something like that. Okay. With the built-in cables and the name Flux.
Flux. Why do you think the name was so good?
So there's three meanings to it. One, we were looking for a name that was easy to spell in different languages. Mm-hmm. Second, we were looking for basically the Flux is a flow of electrons, so it will flow from the charger to your phone. And the third one is like a pun on the word fuck, because when your phone dies, you're like, you drop the F-bomb.
Fuck, my phone died. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's Flux.
Got it.
Can I be a little subtle there?
Yeah. Tell me what you did about your Amazon listing that got you attention. I'm noticing some things, but I'm not an Amazon seller, so I'm sure I'm missing a lot. Like, I see that unlike most people, what you have is check marks under the title, there's a description of what it is. Each point has its own little check mark, which catches my eye, so it looks like a real bullet point. You're doing a few things to increase sales there. What are you doing that I'm not noticing?
Yes, so the title for starters is filled with keywords. So people will search, like, for example, Pro Charger for iPhone 7. So that's in the title. Pro Charger for Samsung Galaxy something. So we try to stuff it with the keywords. The keywords in the title have the most relevancy. Then with the check marks, we try to be a little more psychologically, I guess, they have a psychological intention where people have seen a check mark, that have some positive association with what we're selling. And we also, in those bullet points, we describe the product a little bit more in that why they should buy from us, what are the differences compared to other ones, to the other chargers. And there is a tool we use, it's called AMC Tracker. And that tool allows us to basically look up, what the relevancy is of our keywords are, how we can continually optimize our listing, and also allows us to request reviews, which is very important. So the amount of reviews is really good. It's a good metric for you
to request rank higher on
Google. To request reviews to people. The AMC tracker also, it has kind of like a step-by-step guide on.
I'm on their website now, just to be clear. It's AMZ, like Amazon, AMZTracker.com for anyone who wants to check it out. I see. So they give you a guide to how to promote yourself on Amazon. They give you software to help you see how well you're doing, title length, the bullet points. I see high-res images. Yeah. I see they're even rating your listing, number of reviews. If you don't have enough, they give you an X next to it and they recommend that you improve it. I see. Okay.
Yeah. They have this tool also called Unicorn Smasher that allows to see, what the sales are of the other products. So you can see the competitors are selling this much. These people are selling. And you can see how do you stack up with the competitors. So the competitors are targeting this type of keywords. Which ones should you target?
I see. That's unicornsmasher.com for anyone who wants to see it.
Yeah, no, I'm a tools guy. I try to use as many tools as possible.
Give me more. What other tools do you find that are helpful?
For SEO, Ahrefs.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of that one. .com is the main one that I use. There's also Backlinks Indexer. So Backlinks is a link from a site to your site. And we were talking about SEO. I got sidetracked. But the key things that we did was getting those high quality backlinks and then building up that tiered backlink pyramid. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but what a tiered backlink pyramid is, and it's not black hat if you do it organically. Most people try to do one of these things and link wheels or buying low quality backlinks. What we do is we have the main site at the top and we have high quality links, like let's say Huffington Post, Digital Trends link to that site, and other blogs like my blog will link to blogs. like digital trends to increase their domain authority, so that that domain authority can permeate to our
can you say that domain. Again? I think we just had a hiccup, and also it's a little bit hard to understand this. Tell me again what you're doing with Trusio.
Yeah, so the main thing that we've done and the main metric that I've learned that really affects how you rank on Google is domain authority. Mm-hmm. And domain authority is a combination of a lot of factors like site age and things like that. But the thing that you can really influence is backlinks. How many sites are linking to your site? Mm-hmm. How many high quality sites link to your site is very important. So what we do is we first make sure that the sites that are linking to our site are relevant. For example, review sites, interview sites, and you know, tech blogs. Mm-hmm. And then we link from our different blogs. I have a bunch of them. I link to those. So the domain authority of the sites that, like, let's say TechCrunch or something, increases a little bit to that specific page, and in turn makes our page also get higher.
I see. So your blogs are promoting that one blog post about you, which then has more Google juice to send to you. Got it. You know what else I noticed? I was looking at some of the interviews about you. It seems like they are – you give them the anchor text. Like, here's one that's on Medium by In Their Shoes is a Medium publication. It says, you're from Bolivia. You founded Flux Chargers. Of course, they hyperlink that. The best-selling portable charger, they hyperlink that to your sales page. In over 75 countries. By the way, that is your phrase. Yes. My assistant put that in my notes, and that's why I read in the intro. Where does that like come said, from? The best charger, best-selling portable charger in 75 countries. What's that based on?
Yeah, so like I was saying before, I write the interviews for the people. So, you know, even if I'm writing them, I make sure that to take the most advantage out of it. So I use the anchor text as best as possible.
Okay.
And in terms of sales, we basically kind of like sales using the different tools and see, you know, which different countries we're beating other people in online. Yeah, so some of it they might be a little bit off, but you know, it's like an estimate. This is a good estimate, I'd say.
Okay. All right. So AMZ Tracker. Then there is Unicorn Smasher. Use Ahrefs, of course. Everyone seems to use that. And then was there one other one that you want to include here?
I also mentioned backlinksindexer.com.
Backlinksindexer. What do you use that for? I was on that and then I kind of clicked off.
Indexing means when Google picks up on your link. So if you're building different links. So what we did, we bought, for example, a lot of domains from Flipa. And like you're going to buy portfolio domains, mm-hmm. like, let's say 100 domains for $200. And we build those sites. We have some content generation that we do. Over time, what we've done, like I said, we do a lot of tools and we try to optimize and automate as much as possible. So we have some scripts that will create content and to bump up the domain authority of those sites. And every time we'll promote like a blog post or something, we will use those links to link to that page. And we have to index that page, and that's what Backlink Indexers does automatically for you. So you can just give them the root domain, and every time you publish something, it will automatically try to index it.
What percentage of your sales was coming from Amazon versus your own site?
I think right now it's probably, I want to say between 30 and 40% is Amazon. The rest is about 30% is online, and then the remaining 30 to 40%. Is from bulk sales. So bulk sales is another initiative we started about a year ago.
Let's pause for a moment. I want to understand about bulk sales, but first I should do my second and final sponsor, and then we'll go back in. All right. How's this interview going for you, by the way?
Oh,
you're feeling good?
I like it because I'm being able to talk about things I don't usually talk about in different areas. So you're really digging through. Yeah, I like it.
Good. All right. Second sponsor is a company called TopTal. Here's the thing. It is so hard to find really good developers. There's a reason why so many companies come to San Francisco and are willing to pay sky-high rents for their office, for their home, because this is where the developers are. And so people are willing to spend more. People are willing to do more because a good developer is going to change your business so much more so than maybe just about any other part of your company. The challenge is, how do you find the right developers? And what I find is that younger companies think, how do I find the cheap developer? Smart companies think, how do I find the best developer? And when you're looking for the best developer, it's a hunt. And that's why the people behind TopTal said, we're going to actually start a brand new company. We're going to do the hard work for companies by creating one of the hardest testing processes out on the internet for developers, knowing that the best developers are going to love going through this process. I actually read a Medium article by a guy who was rejected by TopTal. He did this whole postmortem, why he wanted to work for TopTal, what he did wrong, what he would do next time, and how he's going to go. TopTal is the best place for a developer, for a designer, for now finance people to get work. And so they want to go through their testing process. And so TopTal did this testing process. And then they said, now when a business wants to hire, they could talk to us, tell us what kind of work they need, what languages they work in, how they communicate with their developer. Are they using Slack? Are they using Jira? What is it that they use to communicate? We'll find the right person who fits both from a developer point of view and from a cultural point of view, and slide them in like they're part of your company, because they are. You can hire them full-time, part-time. I've known people hire full teams of developers from TopTal. And so if you're out there and you're listening to me and you want to hire the best developer, you're tired of the bullshit of people who are not good, you want someone who can outthink you, who can outthink your team and raise the bar, I urge you to have a conversation with TopTal. I'm about to give you a URL, but this is such a personal thing that I want you, as you follow through, to not sign up, but instead talk to someone at TopTal, tell them what you're looking for, and then they'll match you up. And if you want to hire the person, you can often get started within a day. I've hired people and then started the next day. If you don't, if it's not a good fit, they'll let you know, and then you could do what other people have done. Complain to me. I get a lot of complaints from people who say, I wanted to hire from TopTal, but they said it wasn't a good fit. I'm proud of that. If you're not a good fit, they'll tell you. Go to this URL where you're going to get 80 hours of TopTal developer credit when you pay for your first 80 hours, and that's in addition to a no-risk trial period of up to 2 weeks. It is top as in top of your head, tal as in talent, so it's TopTal.com/Mixergy, TopTal.com/Mixergy. These guys bought more ads for me in 2017 than anyone else. We tried to ask them to pause for a little bit so others could have a shot. They wouldn't. It was just working so well. And I know why, because people from my audience need good developers. And when they find a place with a good developer, they just keep working and working with them. And that's why we keep working with TopTal. TopTal.com/Mixergy. Alejandro, I can tell that you're not in software development right now, because if you were, you would be so writing down their name. This is like the thing that every guest is writing down. I was typing
when you were talking. I have them open.
I'm telling you, there are two companies that my interviewees go for. Number one is TopTal, more than anyone else. They write it down and they follow up and call. Number two is actually a company that's not sponsoring right now, but ActiveCampaign. It's amazing how many people I've interviewed have very basic email software, and they're not. In fact, I'm going to actually tell you, I don't think you guys did that much. Well, let me see. What was your email strategy? Maybe I've actually been on your site so much that you're not asking me for my email address anymore.
Yeah, our email is handled through.
Yeah, what is it? I thought I found
wrong. It's just more of like a MailChimp email sequence. But what I want to talk about,
but you know
what?
You're not asking me. Here's the thing that I've noticed that a lot of people who I interview do. I go to their website and it immediately brings up a pop-up that says, want 15% off, enter your email address. You guys don't do that. Why not?
I read somewhere in a blog that those pop-ups were getting penalized by Google.
I see.
And then that will hurt your SEO. So we're not doing that. And we also did some testing. I believe I haven't looked at that website in a little bit, but if you try to exit, you will have an exit pop up that will say, "Hey, you know, don't leave." And this is, I don't see it.
And you know what? Use promo code FEST for 50. Oh, there, I see it now. Yeah, I see it. Okay, but even the use promo code FEST for 15% off, it doesn't trigger a pop up for like enter email. It's just, here's the code, use it, get 15% off. Okay, so email marketing is not huge for you.
So one was because we didn't do pop ups because it's right away, because those get penalized. And two, on our test, we didn't really convert that much. So, you know, we thought that the user experience is more important than annoying people and just losing the sales because people are just trying to click out.
Okay.
Yeah. But
all right,
on
sorry,
the,
you were going to say something. Go for it.
Sales, maybe this is something that your audience will like. So, like I said, most of our revenue now, like the biggest chunk now, is bulk sales. By bulk sales, I mean wholesaling to distributors, wholesaling to companies that will give it as a corporate gift or as a kind of like marketing campaign. And how we do this is we go to LinkedIn, we type in the company or the role that we think will be interested in buying this. So like CMO or like, you know, chief of brand or something like that. And we export, we use LinkedIn Premium, we export their emails. We put them on MailMerge, which is this tool to basically put in, you know, subject, name, email.
And this is a tool that plugs into via Chrome into Gmail, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They have the most generic name, which I think helps them and hurts them. It's just called MailMerge, right?
Yeah, MailMerge. Yeah.
Okay, so wait, hang on. Let me try this with you right now. So you're looking for CMO. I'm going to do it right now. My premium expired with LinkedIn because my credit card was lost, but that's okay. I can still do a search for the person. Okay, so you're going to do a search for CMO, and then what company would you search for?
We go by, we go for hotels, for example. Those work well for us, or Coachella, or, you know, different types of concerts and things like that. So we think of a place, and we look them up, we put them on a list, and then we also have a script. So we have a one page document that we send with prices, but also this script takes their logo, Google searches their logo, and puts it on a charger, puts it on the PDF automatically, puts it as an attachment on the email, and then sends it right away. So
if it was coming to me, you would say, hey, Andrew, would you like to buy this charger? It would say Mixergy on the charger already in the image.
Yes.
And then you'd have – what script do you use to do that?
That's one we wrote.
You wrote that. And it does a Google search, and I'm sure sometimes you end up with a crappy logo, but you just accept that sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah, we make sure that it works out.
And
shout out to Scott, which is the person that works on the team as well. So he's the one that actually built the script. He's really good. That's what the script does, and, you know, that's how we approach the bulk. So make it a little more personalized, and we also, you know, tell you that we can send you a unit for free so you can look it up. And we noticed that this was a very key point. Giving someone a unit for free, it just increases the conversion rate at least by 50%.
I see. You know what? So then what software do you use to manage all of that? What's your email software? What's your CRM for all that?
We just go straight from MailMerge into Gmail. It's kind of like custom put together with Python.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You know what? So then that became a big thing for you. And it's just that process, just finding people on LinkedIn, putting them into your list, sending them an email, offering them a freebie, that whole thing.
Yes. Yes. That's basically the idea. And then after that, you have to actually, you know, close the sale.
Get on a call with them. Yeah.
Get on a call or just keep going through email, you know, back and forth, maybe negotiate on pricing or just, you know, kind of ask for their address and things like that. Yeah.
Have you used something called Mailshake?
I never heard of it.
They seem to do a lot of what you're talking about all in one. They want a sponsor, and I'm checking them out. Right. I saw that one of my members is using them and was getting results. I'm trying to understand how exactly it would work. It seems to go find your leads, then start putting the email and do the mail merge via your Google account.
Okay. I'll look them up and see what they...
I'm kind of fascinated by this type of software too, but I try not to get too obsessive about the software because it becomes a distraction when you geek out on it the way that I do. It becomes a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So I see what you're doing. I see how it works. And still, I was on the Flux charger on Amazon, and you told me about keyword stuffing, and I saw iPhone 7 and so on. You know what I didn't see? The iPhone X. And it made me wonder, are you guys like taking your foot off the gas here?
Yes. So this is where, you know, is the short answer.
Mm-hmm.
So we got distracted, and it was good and bad. So the first company we started was Flux Chargers. And then we saw that the success of Flux Chargers was the digital marketing, the distribution, and things like that. So we went and did Flux LA, and then we did SEO and marketing for other people. And then, you know, we were getting, both of the these companies were getting revenue. So we started Flux Capital because we didn't want to pay ourselves.
You just want to take all the money that you didn't need for school and just reinvest it in a business.
Exactly.
Instead of paying taxes on it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And not just for the taxes, because, you know, when I will pay myself, it wouldn't really grow. But if we reinvested in the business, it could grow in a double or much faster than having it myself. You know, back in the day, we're still college students. I mean, I'm pretty much still am. I still eat in the dorms and things like that. But, you know, we live with like $1,000 a month. So that's pretty much what we pay ourselves.
Okay, so you said, I'm going to start. I know all this SEO stuff. I love it. I have a process that works. I'm going to create Flux.LA. That's your digital marketing agency. And you started going after customers. And then you said, I'm going to invest in companies. You told me at the start of this interview that, or before we started, you told me that you've invested in two different companies already.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Angel investing.
Yeah. So one of the companies that I invested in is called Everypedia. What they do is kind of like a Wikipedia for everyone. It was one of the companies of my friends, a guy named Mahbub, and a guy named Mahbub Sam.
From genius.com. I interviewed him about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, you know, when I met those guys, Travis, et cetera, the vision that they saw me on was just, you know, very, very powerful. So I felt very compelled to back them up. And so we started Flux Capital and we started doing some of these investments, mainly because we didn't really want to, you know, if we got the money ourselves, we would get greedy, we'll waste it. And I knew I was going to waste it if I used it myself, so I preferred to do other things. And then we also got excited about crypto. And, you know, at the start, it was just kind of like buying and speculating. And well, it's still speculation, but, you know, we... over last summer, we hired someone that knew machine learning. We probably should have used Tuptal, but we went through the longer route and to find someone that was really good and that was able to build a script to buy and sell Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, based on different factors. So that's what also we've been doing.
Let me ask you something. When you go through an accelerator, they want you to do research and see if customers, not research, but actually talk to customers, do sales, see if people want what you want to sell. Mm-hmm. That's at the beginning. They also want you to think long term and think beyond this product. What is the vision? What's the big thing that you're doing? When you told them that vision, what did you say? What was it going to be?
So there's three people that I like to have on my group. You know, people that are just getting started, that I can teach, people that are at the same level as me that I can compete and continuously learn, and people that are ahead of me, which I admire and I really want to be like. So one of those people that I really want to be like is Richard Branson, and Richard Branson's built the Virgin Group, which is a set of companies that, you know, in my opinion, really do things really well. Virgin America, Virgin Galactic, etc. So I want Flux Ventures to be something like that.
And did you tell them that?
Yes.
And then what did they say about that?
Sure.
Right. They weren't buying it because you know what? The challenge with that is Richard Branson started out with record stores, then went to record label, then he took a turn away from all that and he went into Virgin Atlantic, right? Which, like, he had a partnership with the founder of that company, then he pushed out that founder and he ended up running it. But he wasn't doing five different companies all at once, right? He mastered one and then he moved to the next, which was the next logical, and then he took this big giant leap. But that's what I would imagine they would say to you, that you're like a little, that you weren't thinking enough about where did this battery thing go? Would you want to be the new anchor or what anchor became?
Yeah. So we've been using this Flux opportunity to explore things that we like that we would otherwise not have the opportunity to do if we were to take a 9-to-5 job. Okay. So we started with the Flux, in my opinion, you know, there may be not the smoothest and most logical transition, but there's still some
connection,
resemblance and connection. So we did the marketing, and anything that we learned and made good at Flux LA, which is a marketing company, will also help Flux Chargers. You know, and the more we bump up our SEO juice on every site, the more it helps every company. So we've done bunch of different things. Not all of them take, you know, all the time. And
okay,
but yes, in a sense, it would be good if we focus on one. But at the same time, we're exploring different things to kind of like have a better base of things that we do in sales, marketing, cryptos. Because, you know, frankly, we think that still our big hit, it's still to come. So, you know, it won't be a marketing agency or something like that. So we're trying to increase our skills such that when we come up with that big hit, or when we think of it, of that big idea.
And all of this is setting you up for that. Or not setting you up, but it's I just started re-listening to the Steve Jobs Stanford commencement speech where he talks about connecting the dots and how little things that don't seem connected end up taking you someplace. And he just followed his instincts and passions and
yes, right.
And so that's basically what you're saying. You're saying, look, I'm curious about how to sell online, and I've learned that. I'm curious about physical products a little bit, and I've learned about that. I'm curious about direct calls and emails to sell products, and you got that. You're curious about SEO, and you've got that. And so you're putting together this collection of skills,
tools,
that will eventually, when you find that one thing or when you happen to touch it, will supercharge it. And that's where you are right now.
Yeah. So every time we've started a new project, we've come at a higher base. So now that we start a project, we have all the connections with the press, so we can easily market it. We know how to do SEO. We have some sites that are strong that can provide that SEO juice. So that's how I view it. I don't think we've had the big hit yet. So I think that's still to come, and you know, we're trying to learn so that we can be prepared for later.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If anyone wants to follow your journey, see what you're up to, what's a good website? I've got tons of them for you. What's a good one to send them to?
I'd say my personal website, which is alejandrorioja.com.
Yep.
That's the main one. I recently kind of like removed myself from most social media except my Snapchat. And this is something that I didn't talk about in the pre-interview. I actually rap on. I have a different personality, which is called Young Slacker. Young Slacker, yes.
Okay.
This year, again, as part of like a random exploration time, which this is really what I think about Splex, an exploration time, a learning time. I also wanted this next year launch a couple songs as a rapper. Young Slacker is like
is this you?
Opposite.
Hang on.
No.
That's not you?
That's Wiz Khalifa.
Oh, that's you re-soundclouding, whatever that is. Okay.
Yeah.
No, on SoundCloud.
On Snapchat is where I post my original stuff.
You don't post any on SoundCloud?
Not yet. I'm working on a song right now, but I actually have 50 pages on Google Docs worth of lyrics. So I'm definitely working on something. But Young Slacker.
Nothing you could perform right now for us. Do it. Ooh. Okay, hang on. I'm going to do the closeout, and then you hit it. You want to play some music? You want to find some music behind you to do it?
Okay.
Do it. Unplug your earphones. Guys, I want to thank Alejandro and you guys all for listening. If you want to check out his website, it's just like he said, it's alejandrorioja.com. And if you want Flux, just go to Amazon and search for Flux battery. Otherwise, let me see what the URL is, fluxchargers.com. And my two sponsors are, get ready, I'm going to put it on you in a moment. If you want to close more sales, be systemized about it, pipedrive.com/Mixergy will help you do it. And if you want to hire your next great developer, I did. So many people who I've interviewed have. Go check them out at toptal.com/MixerG. Alejandro, Ale, it's on you, man.